Welcome. We're glad you've chosen to listen to this message from what God is doing at Kingdom Faith Southwest. We pray you will receive the faith you need through hearing God's word.
Well, this morning I want to bring a message that actually was born out of taking a wrong turn down a corridor. And I'll tell you what happened when I took a wrong turn down a corridor later. But God showed me something when I took this wrong turn. And it's, for me, I really think it's going to help us all to live in the power of the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is not a matter of talk, the Bible says, but of power. And we've been hearing, and God wants to reinforce all the time that the kingdom of heaven is within you. So in other words, the same things that Jesus did are possible for you because the kingdom of heaven is in you. And that means you are equipped, empowered to do wonderful things for people and to see the kingdom of God come. And one of the things that the scripture says is the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, of peace, and of joy in the Holy Spirit. And that righteousness doesn't come from ourselves, like our own ability, but it comes from God himself in us. So he has become our righteousness, he has become our joy, and he has become our peace. And so all that inherent power needs to get out and affect us and our world. Rather than being staying locked in, we need to learn to live from the inside out. And this is really what God wants to train us as his people to do, is to live from the inside out, to release the kingdom of heaven from within us. If I think of you and see you as potential power people in your location, wherever you live, wherever you go, for me, there is enough power in this room to heal the West Country. Amen. Isn't that an amazing thought? There's enough of the grace, love, power of God to transform people's lives and to bring victory over sickness, over demonic powers. The victory of heaven is here. You're already in victory because you're in Christ. And so if we begin to live out of who we are in Christ, we will begin to see a transformation in far increasing dimensions. We will also see business people having thoughts that transcend the economic climate. We'll have people in medicine who come up with solutions that are so radical that they bring healing in new dimensions to people. I believe we are in a position with the Holy Spirit in us to tap into things that we haven't yet seen. And so God wants to broaden our view and our perspective of what's possible. The enemy works to discourage. You know that, don't you? Discouragement is a weapon from the enemy to push people down and make them think that they can't change, they can't do anything about their circumstances. But encouragement from the Holy Spirit lifts people to become winners, people who actually say God has a solution. And so we need to bring on the church. Put the church on the field and say, you're the solution because God lives in you. Amen. You're going to look happier by the end of the meeting, but you are the solution. Not in your own power, but in his power. But he wants to make his power known to you and through you. You have solutions. There are solutions from the Holy Spirit for that friend who was going through marriage difficulties. There are solutions for children who are in rebellion and discouraged, where God will give you something that will break open that situation and bring that child into the destiny of God. There are solutions for all of you who are working in fly to see words of knowledge, the gifts of the Spirit. Hook these kids up with Jesus. There are songs to be written that are inspired by the Holy Spirit and bring a revelation and glory of Jesus that will manifest God in the church. And so all things are possible. With God, all things are possible, and everything is possible for him who believes. But we need to train ourselves to live from the inside out. From the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And not limit everything down to that part, probably 7 inches above your neck. Now, God is not anti-brain. You would never have got here today if you didn't have one. But he wants to inspire and use our brain and infuse it with revelation, with thoughts that come from God that will breathe a solution. Thank you, Jesus. So let's turn to Hebrews and read this scripture this morning. We're reigning in life, bringing his rule. That is the word God's given us, and that's what we are seeing and will see increasingly. Praise the Lord. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. Another translation says, by faith, we understand that the world was formed at God's word, by God's word, so that what was made from unseen things, and what is visible has come out of the invisible. Now, faith is the way we are living now as Christians. When you're born again by faith. It's the only way you can come into the kingdom is to actually receive Jesus as Lord, to believe in him, what he has done for you, and to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. And faith in Jesus actually brings God's life and power into you. You have a new heart, a new spirit. And that new heart, that new spirit, that new person that is born is righteous before God. So you're right with God, not even by works, by effort, by trying, but by faith. And righteousness is the nature of God in you. So it's the nature of your new person. It is the force of divine life in you that then changes your desires, the way you live, and the things you do. We're changed from the inside out, not by rules. Now, whilst I loved, last week I saw a program on the Ten Commandments, the history of the Bible in our nation. And whilst I know that this nation actually has been held governmentally, there's a lot that's falling down at the moment, by the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments were the basis of the laws that were made in this nation. It isn't by law that we change a nation. Can we understand this? It's not by having a new government elected in or new laws made about drugs and alcohol, although I believe in the law in the nation. I believe the law holds people to account, but doesn't change people. And so whilst we can say we need to return to the Ten Commandments, we have no power to live like that unless God changes us. Unless God gives us a new heart, a new spirit, and we become new creatures in Christ, we cannot live. You shall not lie. You shall not covet. You shall not love or covet your neighbor's wife. All these things are not possible without the Holy Spirit. Is that good? I don't know why I took that detour, but it is a good detour. Because if we say we need to change by rules, we're misunderstanding why Jesus died and rose again. He died and rose again to give us power to live holy, power to live righteous. Now, faith is how we live now. And faith is being sure of what we hope for. Now, hope is very important in your life. But it isn't hope that's based on your external experiences or what you can see happening in your life. Hope is based on the sure, solid foundation of God's promise or God's word. It says of Abraham, against all hope. So Abraham had been promised a son by God, but he was getting very old and nothing had happened. And Sarah was getting very old and it looked very unlikely that she was able to produce. In fact, they were unable to produce. Their body was as good as dead, scripture says. But Abraham, against all hope. So I'm talking about no hope. There was no sign of encouragement anywhere. Has anybody ever lived in a situation or is living through a situation where you can see absolutely no sign of encouragement anywhere? For some of the promises I've been given, I can see no sign. But I can stay encouraged and I can live in hope. Why? Because my hope is coming from God's promise. Because he who promised is faithful and he will do it. So Abraham had to come to a point where he said, actually, I can't do it, but God's promise is true. And I'm not going to waver at the promise. Even though everything around me makes me want to waver, I won't waver. I won't question or doubt what God has said. Because I'm going to live in the hope that comes from God's word, God's promise. So when we are talking about living life as a Christian, the only way we can live is by faith. And if we are living by faith, we will be the most hope-filled people in the office. We'll be the most hope-filled people in our family. We will be the most hope-filled people when we hear the news that the economy is on another downturn. Because faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we haven't yet seen. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for faith. And God is a God of faith who gives us faith. He gives us a gift of faith, a measure of faith. But we also receive faith from hearing his word. Faith needs to constantly come into my heart, into your heart, by hearing God's word. Your inner man needs to hear God's word. So the faith will come into your heart because it's with the heart you believe. It's with the heart, not the head, you believe. And that is so important to understand if you're going to live in the power of God and see what God has said realized. Hope is being sure and certain. Faith is being sure and certain of what we hope for. Now, I heard this story about flying, and I have never flown an aeroplane, and I actually have no ambition as of yet to fly an aeroplane. I'm happy to leave that to people who are qualified. But apparently, when you first start to fly and you want to get your flying, your pilot's license, the first phase of your license would involve, of course, different education, understanding of how to fly a plane. But the first phase would include understanding how to fly where you can see, so below the clouds. So you can see where the buildings are, you can see where the control tower is, you can see, there's a city, there's a village. You have to fly initially. You're not allowed to go beyond sight. But the second phase of flying, phase two, is to fly into the unseen, where you can't see villages and towns and control towers. You can't see anything. In fact, you can't even see if another plane's kind of flying along with you or towards you or even directly at you. Now, that means that the pilot has to be so trained not to depend on his eyes, so that his sight isn't putting him off where he's got to go to. Because some of you are living with things in front of your eyes that's putting you off your faith. Is that good? You're looking at stuff and it's putting you off. But what we have to do is train as a pilot. You have to train so that what you see isn't going to put you off your flying. But you're living by the instruments. That you're relying on the instruments in the plane and also the control tower that is feeding you with knowledge and information about what to do without you knowing diddly squat. Take a left. Are you sure that's right? If you question that, you haven't taken a left, you've carried on. And that could be the difference between a Hudson Bay experience, you know, a crash, or just flying free and continuing in your journey. And so we as Christians need to learn to live by faith, not by sight. To walk by sight means you've got to see it before you'll do it. But faith is being sure of what we don't see. To be absolutely certain and convinced that what God has said is definitely going to one day be seen. Now, the good thing about faith is one day it will be seen. We're not just living by faith until we go to heaven and nothing happens down here. We're living by faith, and in due season we'll reap. In due season there will be a manifestation of what we have believed for. Like the process of pregnancy, conception comes with the seed, and then there is a matter of time whilst that seed or that baby begins to grow, and then the manifestation comes. There's a time to be born. There's a time for a promise to be born. That's why there's a process with faith. Seed, time, harvest. I'm enjoying this preaching. It's good faith preaching. It's faith. Faith, faith is what we live by. We don't live by what we see. Nor do we say, if I've received faith, when Pastor Benk was here last weekend, why haven't I seen it yet? Because we're living by faith, not by sight. And God isn't interested in what you thought Bengt had or what I have. He's interested in what faith you've got. Because it's your faith that will bring you into the victory. And understanding how to walk by faith is going to actually equip you to live in the power of God. So we're not to live by our feelings. And that is one of the key things. When you first become a Christian, God may give you wonderful experiences and feelings. And feelings are good. I'm not anti-feelings. I love to feel loved. But it doesn't change what I believe if I don't feel it. It doesn't change what I believe God has said about us as a church if I don't see it. Because I can't change what God has said. I'm here to believe it, accept it, and to live by faith until I see it. And Hebrews 11 says, actually, by faith we understand that all things were made by the word of God. I just love this scripture that actually tells us that the things yet to be created will come into being through the word of God. This generation yet to be saved will be saved by the word of God. There is a generation yet to be born, and I mean born again. And that will happen by the word of God. The things that we see were created by the things that are not seen. God said, let there be light. And there was. To some of you, this teaching is new, so I'm going to unpack it slowly. But the word of God is the power to change your future. Believing God's word will change your future. Accepting what God says, even if you don't experience anything, feel anything, see anything, will change your future, will manifest what God has spoken in your experience. Thank you, Jesus. And so what God promises one day will be manifest as we live and walk by faith. And, you know, what we struggle with is this understanding. How do we understand faith? Well, how do we understand that Jesus died and rose again? We don't. We just accept it. And it says here, by faith we understand. It doesn't say by the brain we understand. And so understanding can come, and God doesn't want your brain left out of some things, although at times he does leave your brain out. I have seen miracles where my brain has had to be left out of it because it was impossible for man. So I can't work it out how that happened, but it did. And so by faith, I understand God did a miracle. Now, somebody might try and get me into a discussion of how do you think that happened? Well, I think the process is in this. I said, I've got no idea. God did it. Yeah. So it's by faith I understand. Yeah. Not I understand and then I believe. Right. Sometimes it's just a matter of accepting what God is saying and then the understanding comes. Praise the Lord. I really believe that for us to live in the power of God, we need to understand faith and how to walk in faith and not by sight. Hebrews 10:38, or let's start at 37. Just a very little while, he is coming, will come and not delay, but my righteous one will live by faith. And if he shrinks back, I'll not be pleased with him. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who believe and are saved. So what's God saying here? My righteous one. Now, who is his righteous one? Right to the back, let's ask that question. Who is this his righteous one? You? Are you righteous? In Christ, you are. So God's talking to you. So this isn't for everybody else, it's for you and me. It's talking to me. My righteous one will live by faith. So we'll live by what is not seen yet, what I can't touch, what I can't experience with the sense realm. I'll live by a promise. I'll live by a word. I'll live by a vision God gave me. I'll live by something God has revealed. And if God revealed it to me, it doesn't matter that you haven't seen it, I have. Imagine Abraham, God giving him this vision to leave his country, get out, go to a nation that he didn't even know about. And God says, I'll bless you. I'll make your name great. and you will be a blessing. Abraham left on a word from God. That's such a revelation. Don't go anywhere without a word from God. Not everybody in his family had heard the same thing. But Abraham acted on what God had said. And for many days, I don't know that he saw the blessing. Whether he expected within a few days he'd come into the nation, into the land that God had promised him. He lived by faith all his life. And by the way, so will you and me. But this faith journey will have manifestations of miracles, of promises that will come to pass. God is such an encouraging God. So you start off your journey of faith and it goes, oh, look, that worked. Oh, look, what God said to me then is happening now. Look at that. That person, God told me that they would be healed. Yes, and so this journey is full of manifestations of the kingdom of heaven. Thank you, Jesus. But God says that the righteous are to live by faith. So we have to wean ourselves off the instruments that want to tell us what it's, inform us of what's going on. Our eyes, our ears, our senses. And we've got to come back to just accepting what God said. That's your victory. Just accept what God said. And God will do it. He is faithful and he will do it. And God says, I'm not pleased with those who shrink back. And I was thinking about this word, to shrink back. It's actually a cowardly thing. And I believe you've got to be brave to live by faith. Do you? I believe you've got to be courageous to be a believer. I believe we've got a room full of courageous people. You haven't shrunk back, you're here. Thank you, Jesus. You are believing, acting on what you believe. Part of that is that you believe that God is here and that you've worshipped him and that you're hearing from him through his word. You're not shrinking back. You're believing to salvation. The result of this is going to be a manifestation of Jesus' life and resurrection. Thank you, Jesus. But to shrink back can also mean to downsize what God said. Have you ever shrink wrapped something and it makes it look smaller? When you shrink something, it's like, let's downsize the miracle. Let's downsize what God said and let's try and find a reasonable outworking of what God did, said he was going to do. Do you know, the life of faith takes you out of a life of flapping around in stress. I never knew how I would ever be able to buy a house. Ever. When I first left to serve the Lord, I gave up my income. I actually sold my house. I used what I had on the things that I needed in that first phase. And I had to live by trusting God for provision. And God spoke to me about having a house again 20 years on. So it's a bit of a delay time. I gave up the house. And you know that fantastic scripture, I'm like, that'll do nicely. Mark 10, he who gives up houses will receive 100-fold. So I'm into the... But it's also for the kingdom. I'm thinking about a house for the church. I'm thinking about a house for orphans. I'm thinking about what we can do. It's not, I don't need 100 houses to live in. But God needs 100 houses to put people in. When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith? Is it just for you or is it for the nations? Thank you, Lord. And God worked in supernatural ways to enable me and worked in somebody's heart to enable me to buy the house I'm living in. I thank God. Because what is not possible with my head becomes possible with my heart. Well, I can't work out how it's going to happen. God says, I can do it. Just trust me. I'll do more than you could ask or imagine according to my power that is at work in you. And discouragement. Discouragement, you've got to shake it off. You've got to stay encouraged and feed on God's faithfulness. All that he has done, just think about that when you're discouraged. And you'll soon find yourself encouraged. Thank you, Lord. So don't shrink back. Don't reduce the size of what God has said he's going to do. A little one shall become 1,000 guys. I'm not shrinking back. And you know, faith pleases God. It says in verse 6 of Hebrews 11, without faith it's impossible to please him. And so we find that actually believing him for these things that are crazy to the head and crazy to the people around us, actually God is saying, I'm pleased with that. That's where I'm going to work. Thank you, Jesus. So we walk by faith. To walk by faith means that you stop operating in the realm of your mind, your senses. To walk by faith requires two things. Your mind to cooperate with what God has said. And that you accept the unreasonable. It's not reasonable that Abraham had a son at 99. Why should your brain determine what God's going to do? God is bigger than man's mind. The cross, that's why it's foolishness to some who are perishing, because the cross does not make sense. That God could justify us and make us right just by faith and not by proving to him that I'm really good all by myself. And so the cross is foolishness, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. So faith is powerful. Faith, believing God, is powerful. And that's why the scripture says we have to fight the good fight of faith. There is a fight for faith. There's a fight to continue to trust God with what he has said. And your mind needs to cooperate. You see, how did Abraham continue in faith? He received, he heard God say, you're going to have a son out of your own body. He tried to kind of make that miracle by himself and got Ishmael, and that was a problem that warred against the spirit and still does, because the flesh produces flesh, but the spirit produces spirit. And so Abraham, he stayed not wavering at the promise through unbelief. How? By reminding and keeping his mind on God said. He filled his mind that God is faithful, that God, what God has said, he will do. Even though it's unreasonable, it's going to happen. Even though there's only one of me, God is going to make a nation. Even though there's only one of you in your family, God will save the whole lot. To all who believe. Hallelujah. Even though there's only one of you, God will save the people at work. Even though there's only one of you at your university, your college, your business. With God, nothing is impossible. Your future is not determined by your natural abilities. It's determined by faith. The outworking of your future will be determined by faith. That's powerful stuff, this. Now, God requires our mind to cooperate, to have a mindset that's filled with God's thoughts. And that doesn't mean, I think there's an expression today, to have an empty head or to be an airhead. Do you know what an airhead is? Somebody who's just walking around with nothing on the inside. You know? You're home, but there's nobody there. So your mind is not to be empty, but to be filled or transformed, renewed by the word, by the promise, by the plans for a good hope and a future for your life. Not with negative thoughts. You need to kick them out. Pastor Andrea did an awesome word on toxic thoughts, that toxic things that happen through negative thoughts. Kick out those negative thoughts and bring in, transform your mind with positive ones. So we need to see our minds transformed. That's what Romans tells us, Romans 12. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may be able to test and prove what the good, perfect, pleasing will of God is. Now, I believe that if you and I are to effectively walk by faith, then we need to honor what God has said. Now, the word honor is a common word in the Bible. And it's actually, I believe, needs to be a common attitude that we carry. And we're going to be doing a lot more teaching about honor as we go through this. But primarily, Scripture tells us to honor God. And to honor, a definition of honor is to treat as significant. Isn't that awesome? So if we're talking about honoring God or honoring what God has said above our circumstances, our inabilities, it means to treat as significant the promise. So you receive, for example, a word. You've heard God's word that by his stripes you are healed. But the time delay to the manifestation of that healing can actually cause you to go back, shrink back, and not continue in faith. And I believe if you start to say, I honor God's word above my experience, I honor what God has said above what I'm thinking. And I'm going to treat as significant the promises of God for my life. That every promise is yes and amen. And this is more significant to me than my experience or what's going on in my life. People say I can't, but God says I can. People says he will never do this. God says I will do it. There's so much that is fed into people's lives through discouragement that weakens their faith. And God is saying, be encouraged. Treat as significant what I am saying above every other word, above your emotions. What you're feeling right now, hold the word higher and value it more than your own feelings. Now, if we're to honor what God says, then we're going to continue to walk and allow our minds to be filled with the word. Not just having the heart that believes, but a mind that is transformed. And having this expectation to look out on life from a positive viewpoint. From what God has spoken that will come to pass. Now turn with me to Romans chapter 8. Whilst the things of God don't come to you because of your head, they come to you because your heart receives and believes the word. Your head facilitates your miracle. Your head enables what God has spoken to come to pass. It either permits it or restricts it. You can restrict your miracle just with your mind. You might have received faith, but your mind will be the block to the activity and the outworking of God's Spirit. Because your mind, and the enemy knows this, your mind can be changed. In any single day, you can think 5 thoughts about a particular subject. And so we need to really take hold of our own brains and help, let our minds enable what God has promised to come to pass and not block it. In Romans 8, it says here, that it's wonderful scripture, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There is now no condemnation, no guilt, no sense of inadequacy or failure. You're not a failure, you're in Christ. There's no sense of less than anyone else. I really believe God wants me to labor this point today because encouragement is vital. There is no sense of inferiority or guilt or less than. You're justified, you're made right, and you're a son of God. A joint heir with Christ. It says here, the law, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life has set me free from the law of sin and death. So this is something that already has happened in my new birth. I have been set free from kind of the pull down of the sin and death. The law of the Spirit of life has set me free. I have been set free. By the law of the Spirit of life, God's life. It actually goes on to say, for what the law was powerless to do and that it was weakened by the flesh. If you have an NIV, it is actually a wrong translation. And it's been proven biblically that it is a wrong translation. It says the sinful nature. It actually means the flesh. All the way through Romans 8, the flesh, independent of God, because we no longer have a sinful nature. We've got a new nature in Christ. Hello? You're a new creation in Christ. So you don't have a sinful nature. You have a nature to do right. Thank you, Lord. So the law, it was weakened. The law was powerless to do that. It was weakened by the flesh. God did by sending his own son, the likeness of sinful man, to be a sin offering. So he condemned sin in the sinful man, in the flesh, so that in order the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Verse 5, those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. Their minds set. The mind of the flesh is death. But the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the flesh cannot please God. Now what's this saying? What's the Bible saying to us? What's the Word saying? That we have been set free by the law of the Spirit of life. But now, the way I walk is important. That my mind isn't set on the things of the flesh. Yes. Yes. One translation, the mind of the flesh is that it's on the senses. It's what I feel. You know, so I'm walking because I'm feeling something. Or I'm walking because I'm believing something. There's two different things, two different powers. The flesh produces death. The Spirit produces life and power. And so I can, because I have power over my mind, I can either think on what God has said or I can think on what I'm feeling or experiencing. I have a choice, which is why You're called to freedom. God is never going to force you to walk in the Spirit. It's going to be something that you choose to do. You can choose to walk in the Spirit according to what God has said, or walk according to your own senses and reasoning. Now, this is to help us to live in power. Because if all we ever do is live by what we feel or think or experience or what people say, then we will only walk in the power of human ability. But God wants us to walk in His ability, in the power of God. And my mind then needs to be changed into the mind of the Spirit. Can I have just the mind of the flesh is sense and reason. The mind of the Spirit is the word of faith or God's thoughts. And so your mind can choose which way you're going to think. And this is the secret to walking effectively in faith. Once we've received the promise, there has to be a transformation in our minds to enable us to walk into the miracle. It's like the mind opens the door into the room of miracles or closes the door down on the power of God. I know which one I'm choosing. I would rather walk into the room of miracles than into a shut door experience. And so to walk consistently by faith in what God has said requires a changed head. Just imagine if you walked around all day, every day, thinking the kingdom of heaven is here. Everybody, heaven is here. What do you need? Instead of, oh God, I wonder if you'd mind healing this person. God has already given you heaven to release. Imagine a whole church walking around with heaven on their mind. You see, you've not got to be selfish to live the Christian life. Because if you've only got yourself on your mind, we won't get much power flow. But if you start to think about the people in your office that need Jesus. Heaven is here. Kingdom of heaven is within me. I'm going to believe. I'm going to pray and see the release of heaven touching, transforming their lives. Now, my thinking will change that office. Because my thinking will give permission to the Holy Spirit to work through me. Because I can choose to accept or reject. Thank you, Jesus. And God sees what is possible for you is awesome. In your life, in the things that you're called to do. Now, the mind of the Spirit is the word of faith, God's thoughts. We are to live with this transformed mind if we're going to see the power of God transform our community. Then we need to live with a different mindset. I mentioned at the beginning, this message came out of God teaching us something down a corridor, taking the wrong turn down this corridor. We were... this week we actually went to a conference, and we were in this hotel where there were loads of different corridors, and we got lost, like we didn't know which route to take. And as we're walking down this particular corridor, we're going down there, and we're walking up, we just see the wall right in front of us, and we realize at that point when we've seen the wall, we've gone the wrong way. You know how you do? You're just like, okay, well, that's telling me we definitely made the wrong choice. So we kind of hit the wall, not exactly, but we stopped. And there was a few bedrooms off this corridor. And down at the foot of the door of one of the bedrooms was a book. And this book was kind of down at the foot of the door like this. And the title of this book, I believe God put it there for us. The title of this book was Brain Power. And Pastor Andrew said, I think God might be saying something. And I said, I think He is saying something. He's saying something. That if we operate just out of brain power, not led by the Spirit, we're going to hit a wall. And if our mindsets are not changed and renewed into God's way of thinking, then we can't come into the purpose and plan of God to see transformation. In Proverbs 16:25, the scripture says, there's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. That is some serious scripture. That is a serious word. I'd rather be trained by the word than my experience in that case. I'd rather accept that there is a way that might be right in my eyes, but God says it's wrong. And so, you know, I don't know how many times I've actually thought I was right. Has anybody in this room ever thought they were right? Has anybody ever thought they were right and they were wrong? How many times? Lots of times. But you see, if we base our lives on accumulating information and what we think we should do, if our decisions are based on our own thinking, and we're not being led by the Spirit, then we will hit a wall. In the end, it will lead to death. Romans 8, the carnal mind is enmity against God. The carnal mind is death. But the spiritual mind is life and peace. And if there is any cry in my heart, it is, Lord, may my brain not be the power by which I live, but may I be led by the Spirit. Because those who are led by the Spirit are sons of God. They're led into triumph. Because He always leads us in triumphant procession in Christ. They're led into new divine appointments. They're led into ideas that create business opportunities, wealth. They're led into a new job that you never dreamed that could ever be yours. And so brain power versus Holy Spirit power. Which one will you allow to work in your life? Because you choose. You get to choose. I get to choose. Because my head, I can adopt a spiritual mindset at church, but it's if I'm not living by that mindset. Because life isn't church, is it? It's not just a meeting. It's about living as a follower of Jesus. All day, every day, we're following Jesus. You see, if I don't allow my mind to bow to what God is saying, and usually His thoughts are so much higher and greater, I'm like, God, I can't believe You want to do that for me, but that's awesome. Or I can't believe You want to transform this situation by bringing so much goodness. We have to bow our head to pray. Isn't that good? Because your head can stop what God wants to do. You can pray out of what you're seeing, but not on what the Spirit is saying. And what He is saying is a lot better than what you're seeing. So I have this picture here of a man that's too big for a door. And that was intentional. Because he can't get through a smaller door unless he bows. And I actually believe this is one of the secrets to walking in faith. That unless I bow and walk through the way God is saying to walk through, I can't come into what God has promised. My head, Abraham must have fought with his head on numerous occasions. But Sarah, but my body, but we've never been able to have a child, but. But he did not waver, he bowed. You know, Jesus, one of the wonderful scriptures about Jesus is that He was heard for His reverent submission. Don't you just love Jesus? Don't you just love Jesus? He was heard, His prayers were heard because of His reverent submission. Now, do you know what submission is? It's an accepting of another one's word, direction, and purpose. Jesus did nothing or said nothing except what the Father said to do. He lived in humble, reverent submission to God. And I don't believe that we will see an outbreak of the kingdom of heaven without reverent submission to God's word. Do you? I don't believe we're here to make up the rules as we go along. I don't believe we're here to change and reason our way around scripture saying, I've heard things recently that you wouldn't believe. I've heard church leaders declare that it doesn't matter to have female-female relationships. Well, God loves everyone. He died for all sinners. But his ways are right. Hello? His word is exalted above my experience or feelings. His word is Lord. He is Lord. And God himself wants his word to be upheld and honored in every generation. And so we will be heard for our reverent submission. You know, the leadership of the Holy Spirit in our lives is the most important leadership there is. And, you know, I'll just give you a testimony, because some Christians can be so fickle with being led. I've heard people be led because they heard prophecies that they've never submitted to their leaders. And I believe in submission to leaders because that's a biblical way of living. A couple of nights ago, I had a dream. And that dream was that I was in Australia. Nice dream. Now, I've been to Australia twice. And I love Australia. Like, if there's anywhere I'd like to go, it's Australia. It is just a nice place. I like the people are really, g'day mate, laid back. The country's beautiful. Anyway, I had this dream, woke up and said, oh, wow, I had a dream. I don't have many dreams. I don't operate in many dreams. But I must have been pizza or something. So I'm dreaming I went to Australia. Then I was on the phone to somebody who said, a relative of mine is going to Australia for 5 weeks. I'm going, oh, isn't that interesting? I was dreaming about Australia last night, and I've just heard 5 weeks in Australia. Oh, that's interesting. Then I'm having tea in the evening, and I just flicked on the channels of the TV, and I sometimes like watching Relocation. Yeah. And where was the relocation? Well, I'm thinking Three Witnesses. Bring it on. I am leaving. Australia, here I come. But some Christians would at that point fly off actually into what the flesh wants. Let me tell you, sense and reason are leading me to Australia. Even though I've heard all of this, we have to say, is it God? Just because I heard it doesn't make it God. Just because I heard it three times doesn't make it God. By the way, I'm not called to leave and go to Australia. Well, I'm praying about it. No. But you see, reverent submission is, Lord, not my will, but yours be done. What do I do when what I want conflicts with what God is saying to get involved with? Lord, not my will, but yours be done. What do I do when there's a cost to following Jesus? Where I actually have to give up my own rights. I give up my own time. I give up energy. I give up even what I want to do. It's my favorite team playing. England are on later. But if they were on this morning, where would I be? Do I live out of conviction of the will of God? Or do I live for myself, really? Do I live in reverent submission to the Lord? Or am I walking in the Spirit? because it's walking in the Spirit that transforms me, my world, and will transform this region for Jesus. And so, the kingdom of heaven is not a matter of talk, but of power. We walk by faith and not by sight. When God gives us a promise, we're not to fight that promise with our head, but to accept it. You see, Mary, when the promise came, the angel appeared and spoke to her and says, you're going to have a son. His name will be Jesus. He'll be the Son of the Most High. She asked a question. Now, questions are okay depending on how they're asked. If you ask a question because you don't really want to accept what God is saying, then that's out of the wrong heart. But Mary didn't ask in that heart. She said, how on earth? I'm a virgin. I don't know a man. How am I going to get pregnant? And the Lord said, the Holy Spirit. And so Mary said, sure, great, that's really clear. That makes a lot of sense. Did it make more sense after the question? No. She had to live by faith. She accepted. She said, let it be to me according to my word, to your word, Lord. It didn't make sense in her head. And if you and I cannot live by faith because our brains are dominating the way we live, our sense realm, our experiences, then we will miss the joy of the power of God. I believe God wants all of us to have a revolution of living not from the outside in, but from the inside out. The life of the Spirit flowing through us, transforming the world. And this part of your life, your mind, needs to be submitted. The mind, finally, is a student, not a teacher. The next one, the mind is a follower, not a leader. The most brilliant-minded man in the New Testament was Paul. That doesn't mean that God doesn't call intellectuals. He calls everyone to be saved. But every person's mind needs to follow the leading of the Spirit, not dictate what God is going to do. And so we need the training, don't we? We need to live by faith, by what is not seen, what isn't experienced. We need to flow with God in our lives. And God is going to do extraordinary things if you yield your mind to the life and power of the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Let's stand together.
This completes the message. Thank you for listening. If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith Southwest, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664 186 or log onto our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.